Well, good morning to each one of you. I have my wireless mic on. You might want to use that because I may be moving around a bit.
Just want to wish the Lord's blessings upon you and Godspeed to each one. We are going to be continuing our study on Galatians, so you can turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Before we go into that, though, I just wanted to tell you a story about this week. I won't go into the entire detail, but I was thinking back over the week, and what was the most valued moment of the week? Well, yesterday, some of you may know, but yesterday my oldest three children were involved in a Science Olympiad event. That was pretty exciting. They took second place in the regionals, and the high school team took first place in the regional tournament. But that wasn't the most valuable moment of my week. It was pretty exciting, but it was also temporal. The most valuable moment of my week was actually when my faith was challenged. Yeah, that's right. When my faith was challenged. When someone says, "Why do you believe what you believe?" And I had the opportunity to share why I believe what I believe. It allowed me the opportunity to say and express that what I believe isn't easy for me to believe. It goes against the flesh. That was my most valuable moment, because that was an eternal moment. It wasn't a temporal moment. It didn't last just for the day, for the moment, for the season, but it's actually a milestone. And I can name different milestones in my life, and you probably can too in yours, where your faith was challenged. Because I tell you, if you look back at those moments, those milestones, those are concrete pillars. Those are foundations where you can step up on and say, "Now look, I can move forward from here." And if you don't have any, you better get some. And I mean that. In Galatians chapter 6, we are getting close to the end of this book. I'll read the five verses that we're going to look at today. Starting at verse 6, Paul says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." I'll be honest with you, as I was putting this sermon together, my mind was like a jet engine. Okay, I had been thinking about this for a while, musing over it, and then I had my moment of the week. So now my mind is just going everywhere. I'm like, where do I go with this? But I want to look at this expositorily and break down each verse. In verse 6, it says, "Let him that is taught," so that would be the student, right? Him that is taught, that would be each one of us, should be a student. "Let him that is taught in the word," the logos, the doctrine, "communicate." And that word there, communicate, means to share. Unto him that teacheth, to the teacher. Now, teacher could be your parent, could be a teacher, could be a pastor, but it's one who teaches. In all good things. Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I don't know what kind of image comes into your mind when that verse is read. You get an image? What is it? Mm-hmm. No, I think it goes beyond that. I think that's part of it. I think there's more, though. Any others? What's a teacher's favorite phrase from the student? Where's Callie? I told her this week. She disappeared. What's a teacher's favorite phrase to hear from his student or her student? What is it? Yeah! Now I see! Now I get it! Yes, that's what the teacher wants to hear. I get, oh yeah, I see. That's 10 plus. So that's part of communication. If you're there learning as a student, part of your communicating and sharing back with the teacher is your acknowledgement of understanding. Yeah, I get it. I want to put that to practice. I can apply that. I think it goes on. It's also, in my mind, I think it also shows us a picture of gratefulness, of gratitude. Because it says, in all good things. You know, we have that picture, maybe it's kind of old school, I don't know, but you have the picture of the student coming into the classroom and doing what? He's got something in his hand. An apple, right. And he places the apple where? On the teacher's desk. What is that? And somehow, I kind of got that image when I read that verse. It's an expression of gratefulness, of gratitude. That student is saying, thank you for teaching me. I appreciate what I'm learning. And I think this verse, and Paul is saying, let him that is taught, let the student communicate unto the teacher in all good things. Now, let me do a quick recap. How many of you remember what or who wrote Galatians? Quickly. Paul. Okay, who did he write it to? Hard one there. Galatians. And what is he warning the Galatians? There was a big, broad warning. Don't be deceived. But specifically, a group of people. Do you remember the group of people? The Judaizers, right. And they were promoting what? Yes. In general, works. You got to do this in order to be saved. Right? Now, do works bring about salvation? No. And Paul says, no, they don't. Paul also answers this question, are works important? Yes, they are. And we studied that in our Sunday school lesson today. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll what? Keep my commandments. you first have to love me. You're not going to want to keep my commandments if you don't love me. But if you do love me, genuinely, you'll keep my commandments. So in verse 7, Paul goes on to say, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." My mouth is dry. I did a lot of cheering yesterday. Okay, it's probably at this point in the message where each one of you, and I thought about having you do this, I think I will, have you do this in slow motion, just for experiment. But it's at this point in the message where you're going to need to buckle your seatbelt, okay? Because I'm going to take you for a little ride. So I just saw one person, that wasn't real slow, but everyone in slow motion, like you're in a vehicle, buckle your seatbelt. I was just interesting to see who was in the driver's seat. Some people naturally went like this and pulled it down. And other people naturally went like this and pulled it down. Those that were drivers and not drivers. Here is where Paul is saying, this is what I believe. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. The whole way through the book, Paul is saying, he's warning against the Judaizers, and he's saying, you know, they're coming into the church, they're saying, you must do this to be saved. And Paul's saying, no, there is nothing you can do to bring about salvation. And then he gets to this verse, and he says, however, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. That word there, mocked, actually in the Greek means, right in the Greek dictionary, says snout. It means to turn up your snout. Can you picture that doing that to God? I know, nothing a little bit. That's what that word means there, mocked, means to, you know, show contempt to God. What I picture this as saying, because he goes on to say, if you sow in the flesh, if your seeds of the flesh, remember those verses, emulations and wrath and anger, those were flesh. And then we have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Different, aren't they? Vastly different. And Paul's saying, if you sow in the flesh, you're going to reap destruction, death. If you sow in the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Don't be mocked. You can call yourself a Christian all you want. That doesn't matter. If you sow in the flesh, you're going to reap death. If you sow in the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. So our works are important. What we sow, right, is absolutely vital. It doesn't do the actual work of saving us, right? It's important that Jesus said, take up your cross weekly, yearly, quarterly. No, he said, daily take up our cross and to follow him. Was that going to be easy? That doesn't even sound easy. A cross? I don't like the sound of that. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, Paul says to the Corinthian church, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, distinct, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You've probably heard the term nominal Christian, and you may have heard the term radical Christian. So how would you define the difference between the two? What does nominal mean? What's that?
By name.
Yeah, that's the exact definition. It means in name only. What does radical mean? Ooh. We usually only hear the word radical in the media when we refer to Islamic extremists. Radical Islamic extremists. What does radical mean? All in. It actually means relating to or affecting the fundamental nature of something, far-reaching or all-in, thorough, everything, complete. Part of my faith challenge this week, and it was a good thing. It was a good experience overall. But in that challenge, the individual said a startling phrase, and that was, "It may be sin to you, but not necessarily to me." Is that a challenging faith question there? Statement? It may be sin to you. And I respect this person. I think they're a good person. It may be sin to you, but not to me. Why would that be challenging? Because it kind of goes against the nature of good versus evil, and right versus wrong. And it changes up that balance, that scale. This is where it becomes difficult. You see, if I say yes to every command of Jesus, except one, is he my Lord? That's hard. There's a lot of things that Jesus commanded that just goes against the flesh. You know? I mean, by nature, we want to be noticed. We want to stand out, right? We want to be recognized. And we can do that by what we wear, our appearance, and bring us recognition. What we do. Why was there a big struggle in John 21 when Peter and Jesus had that conversation about love? Remember that in John 21, 15 to 17? You can turn there and look at it if you'd like. Jesus, it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?'" Now, I'm going to put in the word, the Greek word, and that's agape. Jesus said in his language, he said, "Agape thou me," which means what? Unconditional love. Right? Unconditional love. And Jesus, or Peter said, he saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And well, Peter didn't use the same word that we use. He said, thou knowest that I phileo thee, that thou art, I'm affectionate toward you. You're a good friend. But Peter wasn't comfortable repeating the word Jesus used for love. He wasn't comfortable saying agape. And we know it goes on. Jesus said a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, agape thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest I phileo thee. But Peter got a little frustrated. The next time, the third time, Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonah, phileo thou me? And Peter was grieved. It says he was grieved because he said unto him the third time, phileo thou me, instead of agape. That's why I asked in Sunday school that question. Could the disciples fully comprehend without the Holy Spirit? I really don't think so. I don't think it's possible that they could agape, that they could say yes to every command of Jesus to be radical Christian for Him until the Holy Spirit came. Because here, you know, look what they had just gone through. And previous to this, it was an enormous miracle, right? Jesus provided a whole boatload of fish. Peter knew who Jesus was. He had risen from the dead. And yet he couldn't say that. He said, what? That's a strong word in our language, Jesus. Agape, unconditional. I know what we've just been through. I don't know if I want to do that so quickly again. But what happened when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2? Peter said, we got a message to preach. He got out there, he preached. It didn't matter who was saying what. You're drunk? Oh, no, we're not drunk. Oh, no. We got the gospel. He understood that Holy Spirit was that difference there. And I believe we, as believers, we can obey every command of Jesus. We allow the Holy Spirit into our lives. If we say yes, and we say yes, it's hard. If the Christian life is easy for you, you need to find a new life. Paul said to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. He said, lay hold, grasp eternal life. Live in light of eternity whereunto thou hast been called. It's a fight. It's a struggle. When I had that confrontation this week, I shouldn't say confrontation. It wasn't a confrontation. It was a challenge. But I honestly admitted to that person, it is not easy to believe what I believe. It's hard. It goes against the flesh. We were talking about voting and non-resistance. It's not easy. It's not a walk in the park to be a radical, fundamental, different Christian. You know, you can go to a lot of churches, just mainstream churches, and you can pull a couple people out random. And then you just walk down the street and pull a couple people out random and line them up. You tell the difference? Most of the time, not. Not in their countenance. Not in their dress. They look the same. And you follow them to work. Same deal. There's no difference. Well, that's nominal. That's in name only. I'm just bearing the name of Christ as a name tag. And that's not what Christ called us to do. Verse 9. Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing. He recognized, he said it to Timothy, he's saying it here, it's going to be wearisome. It's going to be hard. It's a fight. It's a struggle. But let's not, he's encouraging, let's not be weary in well-doing. Let's not be weakened or fail in our heart for doing well. Because we shall reap. We shall harvest a great spiritual harvest if we don't relax. I remember when I went to Bible school, we talked about, we didn't say nominal Christian, we said complacent. Kind of the same in some regards. Complacent. When you think of complacent, you think of the word relaxed, don't you? You're just kind of, you're off guard. You're just relaxed. And Paul is warning against that. He says, if we faint not, we can't relax. That word faint there means relaxed. You're just like you would do if you'd faint. You just, your muscles crumble underneath you. Verse 10, to wrap up, Paul says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Do good unto all men. That's pretty broad. Do good unto all men. Every time we have an opportunity, show ourselves good unto all people. Then he narrows it down a little bit more, and he said, especially those who are of the household of faith. You know, those that believe like you, if there's a need, what he's saying, if there's a need of a brother or sister in the church, you know, focus your energy there first. But there's opportunities all around to do good to those that don't believe like we do. You know, yesterday was a great opportunity for science team, parents. And I saw that. And we heard some testimony of that, too, which is good. My challenge to you this morning is, can I read God's word and accept His word for what it is? You know, there's a lot of things in there, like that challenge I had this week, resisting not evil. That is not easy. Is just not. You know, there's things in Scripture about modesty. That doesn't just have to do with our clothing. That has to do with our lifestyle. You know, being noticed. Are we drawing attention to God or ourselves? Where's our heart? Jesus, even Jesus himself said he was here for the Father. His purpose was to point us to the Father. And we're to be like him. Drawing attention to God. May each one of us, and myself included, because I was challenged this week, and continue to be challenged by taking God's word literally, believing his word for his word, obeying his commandments and following them in love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you would just provide opportunities, as I know you will, for us to do good unto all men, for us to show your love, to share the gospel, our testimony, to be challenged in our faith so that we may grow in our walk with you. Lord, help us not to walk around that. Help us to walk toward it. Help us to even desire those challenges so our faith can grow stronger and deeper in you. And that we can use those opportunities to guide and strengthen our brother and sister. Lord, we want to encourage and build your church and expand your kingdom and bring all glory to God the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Alvin?